So you can use that illustration to put together the idea of, now this is an old nursery rhyme from America. Here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors and see all the people. Well, you can use that too if you want. Okay, page 9. Here's what I want you to do. Take a different sheet of paper, or write at the bottom of page 8 your answers to this. Now, go down this list for your ministry. Pick one. If you're in a church, or if you're doing something with a group, write them on the other page. Don't write them on this, because you're going to want to use this many times over. You're going to want to Xerox it. Okay? I know this. And the whole notebook is on this, for those of you who want to. Write your answer. Which do you see happening? Do you see no one taking responsibility for the loss? Or practically no one? Then write one. If you see the missionary or the worker is taking personal responsibility for the lost around them, then you write two, etc. 1 through 5 for ministry, mission. The same for leadership, church, eschatology, reproduction, and finally, worldview transformation. Then, draw a line underneath your column of numbers and add them up. Just do that.
Sorry,
is
one of these
ones that you want, or can you make? You choose only one answer. So you choose the highest one of what you see. Good question. Not now.
I'm not now.
Yeah, you do record it on a different piece of paper, like on page 8. Record it on page 8. So that you can copy this and use it. You know, Xerox it and use it time and time again. This is one of the most useful tools you will have. Don't take long. Just as you read through that list, your answer should come really fast. Which one do you see most? What most represents the ministry you're part of?
Is it in the context of our church?
Yeah.
Not in our
church. You can use your church. You can use a ministry that you're involved with. Like maybe you're just working with the youth, or maybe you're, you know.
So the score already is from 1 to 5. If I think no, if I don't agree, then it will be score 1. If I agree fully, then it will be score 5. Is it?
Yeah. In other words, if you see all of this, then bang, yes.
And 5.
Okay. Don't worry, there are no 25s yet. You've looked on this. go quickly.
Yes,
write it down quickly.
This is in the context of our city, sir. In our city.
Yeah. Context of your setting. What you're doing. Raise your hand when you're done. Good. You're done. Okay. Write a total. Get your total. Got your total. Okay. Turn the page over to the back and read the key and the instructions and observe what you're seeing.
I think it's island questions.
You know, there's certain lessons that are really take a lot of time, and this is one of them. But it's really, really important. Now, is anybody seeing a movement happening? You're seeing a movement?
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But you're in my assessment, emerging movement.
Emerging.
Emerging movement.
Very good.
Same, you are saying. Praise God, we are saying.
Very good. You're doing a lot of things right. This key, this tool will tell you what you need to do to see a movement in each of those areas. What area do you need to strengthen? Where are you weak?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you weakest? That's where you need to put your greatest emphasis. Where are you strongest? You still need to improve. Right? But where are you weakest? You need to put special effort there to get that moving up. see a movement happening and it's to sustain a movement. Okay? This is a very helpful tool. It can help you get stuff going that has to happen or you won't see it. That's very good that you're already seeing as an emerging movement. Now you know what to do. Okay? This is a very helpful tool. That's why I said to you, don't put it on that page, Xerox it. You'll want to. And again, the whole notebook's on this, so you can get a free copy anyway. Let's move on to page 17. What is the church? At your tables, I want you to work through this passage. You have no more than 20 minutes to do so. Well, when I tell you it's break time, it's break time. So.
Not yet. Work until. What do we have to
do?
Number 16.
Just dive into the word as you go. Yeah.
16 or 17?
You're going to need your Bible.
17. What is the thought? Stop.
We're going to be asking some questions that are very convicting and very hard to answer and, frankly, controversial. They're quite challenging, so dive in. Does anybody not have a Bible that needs one in English? Because I have one right here. Okay. Work together on it.
When the apostle of Jesus Christ, the glorious Lord of exiles of the persecution in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God, Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, who works faithfully with his name, may grace and peace be multiplied to you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept you in heaven for you.
You're going to jump around a little.
Okay, you what?
Two, one, two, two. Okay, two by two.
First Peter chapter 2.
1 to 3.
From 1 to
2.
Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby.
I will now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him.
You answer like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and in him will never be put to shame." God bless.
And a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobeyed the word as they were destined to be. Verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, for his own possession, that you may claim the excellences of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are our God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received
mercy.
What did Peter say is true?
Yeah,
fine and fair and good.
Chosen and precious.
Yeah. Rest and peace.
God's people. Chosen people.
I believe in him with four.
Chosen and precious.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Temple of God. Believers are
where the Spirit of God dwells.
What did Paul call believers? We answered that call. He calls us temple of God, that the Spirit dwells in us. Like us. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophet, talking about spiritual gifts. How calls believers as a group?
If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You are the body of Christ.
Let me
and what
What is
called
Paul
believes
as a group?
Body.
Church.
Body.
Body of Christ?
Yes.
I am the body of Christ, yes. The story of Christ.
I think we will show each other the first how other we will show them.
For you ask.
And you are Ephesians. And me Roman.
Will come in among you, not sparing my flock. Verse 30. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after
them. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. It is 23, then 29 and 30. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Yes, finish.
Body,
body.
Yes, video is first. So I will read Romans 12:5. Chapter 4, just as each of us had one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and its members belong to all the other. Corinthians.
Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. What is the Christ's body? What is the Christ's body?
What is the Christ's body?
We. Christians.
Member of church.
Yeah, Christians are member of the church.
Fellow
believers. No, her turn. She did not check. Just turning.
The church is
under 47. And day by day, attending the temple, the brothers breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with a generous heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
And Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, in the family, and from his
thanks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Make my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ.
Then Colossians,
Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. So, home, house. Yes, house.
Matthew.
That should be 1 Corinthians 12:12-14.
We already did it.
18, 17, 20, okay. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in the heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosened in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst.
Talking about some complaints, what did Jesus call children? What's the first question? What Jesus called church in Matthew 72? What Jesus
called church?
What did Jesus call church?
Even to the Latin Gentile Republic. What then is the smallest church? Oh, the smallest church can be two or three persons can gather together. This is a church.
Two of you on the earth, are we? Two.
Gather in the name of Jesus. Smollet. It is the church.
Smollett is 2.5, right? The hybrid of 2 and 3.
So we are 5-1 church.
Question. What do Jesus, Peter, and Paul call a small group of believers who meet in Jesus' name in a boat, a store, an office, beside a body of water, or under a tree?
Church.
Church.
Yes. Jesus, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4 questions.
Church can be. What then is the smallest church?
Church buildings did not become common until after Christianity gained freedom in 12:25-28. 1 Peter 2:9 says that every believer is a holy, royal priest. All four verbs in Matthew 28:19-20 are in Greek command forms, even though only one is a main command and the other three are in participial common forms. So, who did Jesus authorize and command to baptize and disciples to obey of all the ones?
Yeah, we all of Jesus.
What? Again?
to whom did Jesus give the command to go?
Uh-huh.
Before the prayer time, just like what's the main passage? What we understand that through reading these all things.
Church,
and so we are one body in Christ.
And in the body of Christ.
Yeah. So we are the chosen people, precious. Yes, we are the temple of God.
And church and gathering everywhere. Also. We don't need a building, right? So we cannot, don't need to rent. Go to break.
After 1990 earthquake, they need to buy another brick.
Do you church in Mongolia is the house church or the big church?
Not really big, but not house church.
For our church is a house church.
So how many members?
Maybe 40 members.
40?
Yes, but why Sunday usually 30 or 25 people go to church.
So let's go. I think in Mongolia, even if you are 20 or 30, it's not house church. It already became church.
You don't have the beauty.
So everybody stand up and stretch.
So visit one church, each other's family.
Okay. Around the table, I want you to take one straight line. Going that way. Okay. And you do the same. Stretch that way. One straight line towards the wall. One straight line. Your table, one straight line. Your table, one straight line.
We're going to another
Okay. Hands on the shoulders of the person in front of you. Massage time. Okay, turn around on the other way. Get back to your chairs. It's work.
Break down.
You're on the wrong day.
No more break time.
It's only 2:10. Break time isn't for another hour yet. Okay, reproducible churches, please. Number 8. circle your answers. Where did the believers gather? Just go down the list, read, and circle. Okay? You'll see it right in the text. Just circle. And move on to the next one immediately. Where did they meet? Where did they meet?
Okay. I will read first. Acts, when they arrived.
We don't have to do this one together. Just go right on through it.
Just put a circle around where they met, each one of these. I realized that for some of you, you've been working in other languages.
Mm-hmm.
This is a challenge for you because it's in English. So don't worry. Okay. This is not a test. Go to the next page when you get to the bottom of the verse. And when you get to where it says, which best describes, stop. If you need to use the CR, just go ahead and use it. Thank you. seat in the bottom, please? Just wait. Just stop right there for now. Okay, now we'll do the bottom part together. Okay? Because there are typos in the bottom part, it's going to be more difficult for you to do it the way that I would have normally done it. So, we'll do it together. Parts one, A and B for each of the numbers. The idea is, which best describes the New Testament church? A group of Christians or a group of 25 or more Christians?
A.
A or B?
A.
Yeah. A. Is led by a formally trained pastor or is led by a bivocational person? A bivocational means somebody has a job. Normal job, you know, working in some industry or something, or for some store, and then they have the role of being a shepherd for a small group or a leader for a small group. Okay, so can a church be led by a formally trained pastor or by a bivocational person?
Bivocational.
Yeah. There are more of those than there are trained pastors. A lot more. Is devoted the New Testament churches I'm talking about, not what you're seeing in your churches today. Is devoted to its doctrinal statement or is devoted to the apostles' teaching? What was the New Testament pattern? Okay. Did the New Testament church gather to strengthen one another or to talk about one another? Yeah. Some of our prayer meetings turned into gossip time. And great damage can be done. Okay. Thank you. Number five, did the New Testament church baptize and celebrate communion or baptize and celebrate communion only when an ordained pastor was available? Did the New Testament church pray that their desires will be done or pray that God's desires will be done? Some of us try and make God into, do my will, God. Not the way it's supposed to be. Did the New Testament church exist primarily for its own members or primarily to serve others?
To serve each other.
This could be a trick question, folks. There are two ways to see that one. But generally speaking, They were service-oriented to the people who were around them, as well as to their congregation. Did the New Testament church meet whenever it could, or did it meet, I mean, wherever it could, or did it meet in a sanctuary?
Whenever it can. Don't need sanctuary.
Did the New Testament church train members for ministry by sending them to Bible schools or by modeling and on-the-job methods? So, if you want your churches to be an example of a New Testament church, which way are you going to do things? Turn the page over. And now you can work at your tables on the next series of questions. Why can small churches reproduce more easily than big ones? Go ahead. That's your table. That is my table. You can discuss it.
Why can a small church reproduce more easily than big ones?
You can train faster, the little can train faster. Aaron? Yes. Like the big church, maybe no one.
So it can be small is better, eh? If we can.
Just do it, you know.
So every members will be active or productive. If there are many, just we think, oh, they will do. I don't need. There is enough people.
I think let come like what is that temptation? Like in the big church, the leader can be very powerful, but in the small group, the leader can be like volunteer to be with them. Yes.
Money.
I think number one, easier to run. Run the church. Not need to the more thing. Like just a house is enough.
House is enough?
Local church.
No need to render out.
Yes.
They have many branches because of their
bivocations. One by one. I want to hear, but.
Because of bivocational, they have many friends or they have many connections. They have many introductions with many people. Because they are bivocational, they are not only one occupation. Many.
Workplace.
So yes, easier to reach the lost people.
Like we can train everyone on the church.
There is a tendency that he will impose doctrines, but if he's a violent vocation, he can focus on just producing disciples.
And I think because they have testimony, just like. Yes. That happens to the occasion.
This is not happening.
Oh, then.
Yeah.
They believe that the ordain can only be the baptism or the breaking of the
pin. They focus. My chat?
It's semi-reverse.
You mean that too? The focus on pastor. To focus on pastor.
He relied on the one that was
ordained pastor. So we did not experience that church is more reproduced. The question said that the church reproduces more easily than the ordained pastors, right? But we did not experience it yet, because always the pastors are ordained people do. Yeah, so we don't know.
This question is good. Not my ability and not my response.
So let's baptize and go on.
So if they rely so much on the ordained pastor, they miss the point of just believers going out, making disciples, and even baptizing.
This is true. In the concept of
just the wisdom. So why can't churches in that very whatever they can do to do, but for easily when those preachers in pastor is so like compared to the number of
braver.
Because we just the high pastor cannot handle all the cannot this by vocation and like need to go to the house like something that they like have the intimate relationship
yeah.
The family and they have or if they are in the community if they will have this family so later on they can help another
Yeah. And because some church don't have the plate that, so they just focus properly for the place we can gather in the morning. So they don't like really focus on another thing. So more flexible, not based on. Yeah.
Just intimate relationship with the family so that they can reach that family and pass it on. Okay, number 5.
Do you have anything?
No idea, it's very good. It's perfect answer.
Yes.
Okay, I think you. No, I didn't. She said. So no more?
We have to not rely on place, like we don't need a place to focus.
Read.
Yeah. Why do churches have trained members by ministering through modeling and other methods produce more easily than those which train members by sending them to Bible school?
Because of all the discussions you guys have here, probably the time here in the meetings, in order for you to have a concept of church,
same question with two. Number five. Same.
The three members for the ministry to go to the community and model what they are doing.
Workmates are people, they know each other very well and it is easy to reach to them. If pastor or Bible school trained people come, maybe their ideas and their opinions are quite different and it's hard to
reach that community.
Circle of community, circle, friendship circle or something.
The theory, Bible is only theory, practical approach.
So we don't need to study.
Let's go.
You might want to go down here to application number 3. What challenges are you going to face if you try and implement this in your setting?
Let's go to applications.
Last question on the page. Under application, the last question.
Number three. What challenges would we face in trying to make church in your city? The question number 3, do you remember the Darden baptized Darden people? So it is the challenge for us. Because if I baptize someone, I feel like I did something wrong because pastor have to do this, and I think that. So let's just baptize. No worry about the pastors.
And lead the communion.
Yeah.
Just a normal question, and then he's leading the church. So it's kind of a challenge. The church that I want to speak, he is not a graduate
Be aware that this is very controversial stuff.
It is normal in Mongolia. We don't
you're bucking up against the nations.
I'm afraid that if something wrong happens, can lead to one to four for the. We don't know how to change it. We don't have the form or
this is
not organization, but because like I enroll and wrong something, and I teach another, and another will follow wrong. I mean.
We will not teach wrong because Holy Spirit with us.
So, in light of that question, what would you need to do to reduce the conflicts and to make it more acceptable? Whether you're talking about a denomination, or people's theology in an existing church, or a current church's way of doing things, what would you need to do?
I suggest, sir, that one of the effective way of doing it is to reset a church.
A lot of people do that, yes. Any other thoughts? There are other good thoughts.
Lucia can baptize.
In a pioneering situation where there are no churches, the reality is for most of your settings, there aren't already existing churches. You're going to have problems with them. How will you work with that? These are things you need to think about. Change comes, but it doesn't come without a little bit of price and pain. And the people who are going to pay the price are usually the ones who institute the change. Okay, there's a cost involved in doing some of these things. Okay? It's often been said that it's much easier to start something totally new than to try and change an existing structure.
It means, sir, that you will go up to your church and then make a new one?
Yeah. That's what that might mean.
Go up and start.
That's what these things might mean. That's one way to do it. There are other ways. Cell church is a very interesting compromise, and it works well in cities, big cities. Especially among the reasonably wealthy or the middle class, well educated, and those with very good jobs, it tends to work well. But it doesn't work so well in most places among the poor. I know of only one person in this country who's managed to multiply cell churches among the poor. And he's a personal friend of mine and a taxi driver. Okay. So there's challenges that you're going to face if you're trying to change an institution. Pray about it much. Think carefully. Introduce ideas like this slowly. Be in touch with your pastor or people in charge. Do studies like this with them. so that you can bring them along and up to speed with you. They may not come with you. They may go the other way. And you may get hurt in the process. So be well aware that there may be a cost for you and your family and for others who go with you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to give you straight up reality. And it's not always the easiest thing to just jump in and change everything. Because you see what looks to be a better idea. House churches have a life cycle. There's a birth. There's a time of growth. There's a time of plateau. There's a time of waning. It may recover from it and grow much stronger and multiply, or it may die. House churches will die much quicker than a bigger church, a traditional church. That too, you keep in the back of your mind. What happens to those new believers in those house churches? You have to think that through carefully. What plan do you have in place for them? Can they join another house church? Can you have a coordination of house churches? Do you have a design to build a network of house churches that work together to grow networks and multiply networks of house churches? That's what's happening in China. It's been happening in an awesome way in China. Exciting. Very powerful stuff. We'll see some more of that tomorrow. Okay, let's move on.
So there's a statement here that was made as a known old town that how can you build or start a new church? Because we call it the main church is a mother church. And then when you produce, it's a daughter church. That is how we, now it becomes a different satellite or anything. But, you know, mother and daughter. The concept of that, sir, is somehow they are criticizing the small church to produce because it's quite yet small. And then you will produce another church. You call it a daughter church. And then this is the saying now in the Philippines. You are that makes critic to the small church that you are producing a daughter church and then you don't have yet enough capability to produce daughter church. It's a bad, and then they are calling it a bad stewardship. What can you say about that? Because it's like
when you think about a church that pours all the resources to itself. Spends it on all these big buildings. Is that wasteful? When you could use the same money to reach millions. See, you can charge it both ways. You can criticize both ways. It's not a game of criticism, defense, and blame. Blame and defense. Let's not walk that road. It's not healthy. It's not loving. It's not the way we're called to live as Christians. I can go very long and hard on what it means to forgive. I'm going to hold off on that because we got some other things that are critically important that you understand. I'd like you to take some time and go through the next lesson on indigenous movements. Do it as fast as you can with your tables. Eventually, maybe we'll skip that for now. We'll come back to it if there's time. Instead, I'd like you to go to page 26, Finding and Gathering Groups. This has to do with how you do evangelism. You have three options. I'll tell you this right now. You can tell people one by one the gospel and win them one by one. Gather those who believe and form a group and begin to disciple them and build a church. You can do it the traditional way. That's more the traditional style. You can do it a different way. You can go and gather a group of completely unbelievers and gradually win them as a group to Christ. That might take a little longer than it takes to win them one by one. But in the end, you have a natural church already forming the whole time. And you can use those who are beginning to believe to let their excitement spill over to win those who are a little bit slower. And so you can win the majority of the group. If you're going to do it with a family, which would you choose? One by one and hope you win the whole family some year? Or would you want to win the whole family together? In Asia, one of them will work. The other, you might win one and you'll lose the rest. Mm-hmm. Think about it in your setting. Why do we win one and lose the rest? Are we doing families any service? Are we doing marriages any good service? There's another way you can do it. You can form a group of couples. You know, like four, three to six couples into one group. And you can win them as a group together. And now there's real strength there to win their children. And believe me, they will have a vested interest in winning their children. And they'll prioritize that over everything else. So you have three alternatives to choose from. When you do evangelism, which would you like to try? Which one are you used to using? That's what this is about. And where can you find groups naturally existing? Where are you used to looking for to find people? Where might you want to try looking for people? Go ahead and work it through. That's what this lesson is about. Go ahead, hesitate.
It's of this point.
Okay, number two would be more like winning a group of couples together, or a group of singles, or a group of.
Cool.
Yes. for my organization.
But how?
Just gather, like, you are the members of my organization, and you invite your friends, and then the new students come, and we share the gospel and proclaim, and then help them to evangelize, and then disciple them. So it's two, right? Yeah.
I think too, but it's a good way, but that don't know that know how to make it. My group.
Number three is also
So that means you visit the households. Yes. How do you do?
I think this is mostly one you can do on your own, but I'd like you to go to why find or gather groups. Just this, flip the page.
Find or gather groups.
Page 27, just above application.
Where to find
them?
For us, we find for university, because it is a student organization, so we go to the university and find schools, and universities, college.
Discuss. So, why don't you go back to Wi-Fi and gather groups?
Wi-Fi.
Better use of our limited time and energy. Yes, first reason. Members of the world. Yeah. And so, all I think of.
We will discuss. I don't know how to discuss.
Why find our garden groups? It makes better use of our limited time. It's true, right?
Yeah, true.
Then go with, more effective than, there's nothing wrong with visiting houses. It's effective, but you gathering this group, you save time and energy because you're at that place and then they go to you.
As a group members already have a relationship with each other. Because we invite, because they know that person, so they know each other. It is easy to go inside with the others.
It is you who will be adjusting to them, not them adjusting.
Yeah.
So, group member, have two positive challenges, right? Yes, they like this cat, each other, like we now. Let's talk. Yes. Share same. Interest.
Then you can reduce the worship about what is the worship?
Gossip.
We have to move on. I just wanted you to be exposed to this, and you can read about it a little bit more, work it through on your own. This one's pretty simple and straightforward. But the next one is really critical. I'd like you to work on this one together. Do so now. At your tables. Somebody else who hasn't invited you.
Me. No, not me. It's a kidding.
that way.
Okay, what are we gonna do? Just read paragraph by paragraph, introduction, okay, and then go.
Have you spent significant time befriending people and sharing the gospel with them only to discover that they were completely uninterested in Jesus? Have you struggled to find local people who could lead a new church? Remember, God has gone before us. Therefore, the key questions are, how do we find those whom God has or will draw himself? How do we find those whom God had chosen to lead?
So it happens for us, right? In this, that he read these things, and that things are really happens for us, right? So if it really happens, we have to do the first step. Okay.
And gospel, sorry. Many things. He rely slowly on personal religion. And yes, he has toy kings with mask when they didn't have personal religion. As a result, thousands of people are hearing the gospel for each mass evangelism activity. They use a feedback tool that tells them who is responding positively.
So we have to use both personal and mass. That tool will give us the more we become more productive. Second, okay, how are people of peace found? Question. Let's answer.
Accept.
Many things rather those who buy his household who have come to faith and try to form them into a church. In SCMM's, the teams look for people of peace and do them start at the beginning. A new church among their social.
Okay, now hold on a second about persons of peace or people of peace. There's some things you don't know about the Greek text and about the culture of the time. The phrase, the kingdom of God is near you, what it means to a Jew is the kingdom of God is here now. And that was Jesus' message. Why was it there now? The king was Jesus. The Messiah was present. That's amazing. Jay is coming to join us for our merienda a little bit in just a few minutes. But that's part of the context here. Another thing that you may not recognize and might not be explained here. This piece to this house, this is the shalom of God. Shalom in Hebrew
can include virtually everything from just a cessation of hostility to a restoration of healing, of wholeness, of restoring relationships, of God's leadership and their relationship with God restored. It can include healing as well. The shalom of God is really a very inclusive term. It's much bigger than what we normally think of as peace. But this is God's peace to you. In other words, folks, salvation is present and available. Wow. This is actually a common greeting in Hebrew, shalom. But few actually understand the full extent of what this can mean. Today's world, we don't know, because our language doesn't include all of that in the single word peace. And when Paul was writing greetings, peace from God to you, this is the peace he's talking about. Peace with God, peace from God. And the whole shalom. And this is what you're blessing a household with. That's what he sent his disciples to do. We know.
Thank you.
So what are their traits? And their traits is like household, gather in household, right? Mm-hmm.
So we have two traits, right?
Not coming, visiting one another, right?
Eating, drinking, whatever.
Eating, drinking, okay.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
Can we do it in Philippines?
Yes, you can.
Not only.
Shalom to you.
Yes. I think we don't need to read Bible examples. We should read. Okay. Let Bible examples.
There was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout, and God prayed. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God, and the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come on as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter." Peter went up on the roof to pray. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. "Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Now what was
this person of his fault? How was this person?
Who was this person? I think because Peter prayed, he was immediately leaving.
Yeah, because if someone doesn't know, for example, he had the vision, and it is good that angel answered or spirit
So we start with the prayer. Power of prayer. Everything, these things are happening. Peace came.
What were his needs? Maybe there's no hesitation.
Helping the needs.
He trusted the one or the his vision.
It said that the first, second paragraph, not paragraph line, he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So it is like, gave generously in need and then prayed. Need, help in need and prayer.
When she and the members of her household were not married, she invited us to her home. She was a believer in the Lord. She said, "Come and stay at my house," and she persuaded us.
I think vision, vision, had a vision, right? And everything starts with the vision. Yeah.
Revelation
and vision, yeah. What were her traits?
Rich. Purple. Her purple clothes is rich. Color the king.
Yeah. They say come and stay
in my house. Come and stay. Yeah, hospitable. Okay, read the three.
Okay. Every Sabbath, Paul reasoned in the synagogues, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clear my responsibility from now
and I will go to Gentiles. Then Paul left the synagogue and went to went next door to the house of Titus Justus, and a worshipper of God, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him and believed and were baptized. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God.
How were these people of peace found?
Okay, so. Bye.